This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. We appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com, and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, October 18th, 2024. I'm Jean-Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday to all.
And Eric Bickle is here.
Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning. I see you brought in a bag.
Yeah, I got my seasonings and everything. I mean, it was the last thing I wanted to do at 8 o'clock at night or whatever, but I did. I ran out, got what I needed.
Very good.
Got what I needed.
For those that don't know, we're going to have a steak-off today. A couple guys here have bragged about their grilling skills, their ability to grill the perfect steak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's going to be a battle between Mike Marr, one of our producers.
Yep.
Who somehow jumped into the fray saying he cooks the perfect steak. Valdez,
I love it.
Yeah.
Behind the glass, bit season. He also is in the fray. EB says he can make everything taste great.
I can make any steak taste good. Yep.
And then Cakes is confident in his skills.
My confidence is a little bit shook because I saw Tailgate Ted's grill that he's bringing. Now, I have no problem with his grill per se, but when I cook steak, if I'm cooking it on a grill outside, it's generally a grill with a cover. Mm. Like, that's how I usually cook. Like, I think I'm flying blind a little bit cooking a steak without the cover over top of it. Mm. So I have to.
You don't like open air.
Yeah, I'm not used to it. I feel like I'm playing an away game here. But it's all good. We're all playing on the same level playing field.
I like that uncertainty.
I'm just being honest with the way I'm approaching it today.
Like Jared Goff, you only play well in domes.
Maybe that's it. That's probably it. But we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have a blind taste test.
Yes.
Later in the program, you guys will go downstairs, outside, where Tailgate Ted has brought his grill.
Mm-hmm. Is he already here setting up or anything? No.
Please. No, not yet.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're going to start cooking around 8 or 8:20. What's the exact time of the steaks going on the grill? Do we know?
I think probably 8:15 or so.
So 8:15.
When do we get to season them?
Whenever you want. You can do it now.
Okay. Is that what people are doing?
I'll probably do it around 7:15 or 7:30.
Cakes was nice enough to go buy the porterhouse steaks.
I did, yeah. I bought. Now, there's a very slight wrinkle. I don't think it's a big deal.
Uh-oh.
But I bought a three-pack value pack of porterhouses from Safeway, and I thought the fourth individual steak was also a porterhouse. It's a T-bone. There's a slight difference there. Now, what, like the T-bone is, I think it was $14.99 a pound, and the porterhouses are $13.99 a pound, and they look very similar.
Yeah.
I think they're a pretty equivalent cut. Okay. I have to be fully transparent here.
All right, Mark,
I noticed it after I got home.
So how are you going to decide who gets the T-bone?
I don't know.
The three porterhouse steaks.
We can just take them all out of the
grocery nearby? When's the Harris Teeter open? Maybe you can go over there and get it. Porterhouse.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
They're all
you'll
same.
Be all right. You'll be all right.
Just don't say who has what.
Right. That's fine. So there's a slight botch in there's the procurement always, of the steaks.
You know, in my family, when you do something stupid, they basically say you bickled it.
Yeah.
You bickled it.
Yeah, maybe I bickled it slightly. Yeah.
How does that distinguish anybody in your family?
Yeah.
Because everybody's a bickle.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll put it this way. My in-laws say, oh, you bickled it.
Got it.
Like you rip open a bag of chips that like a... You know, a dumb way.
So the chins, not the pickles.
Actually, not the chins. My brother Matt's wife.
Okay.
Well, by the way, she coined the term bickling.
I forgot to mention to you that I ran into your brother Matt at the Terps game. I saw him at the Terps game. He was like four or five rows in front of us over to the left.
Oh, no,
my wife noticed him at first, and then when he was coming up
he's hard to miss.
He's coming up the steps, and I said hello. Yeah. I dapped him up. We talked for, I don't know, 30 seconds, and then he went on his way.
He was there with his son, right? His oldest son.
I don't know who he was there with, but he was there at CQ Stadium watching that Terps bloodbath against Northwestern.
Right.
Well, Jason got to see a fun game last night.
He did, yeah.
Jason's not here today because he went to go visit his daughter at Virginia Tech and to go to the Hokies game. I put it on. And it was already 21-0.
Yeah, they're just
smashing
them.
And it ended up being 42-21, I believe.
Well, it was 28-21 for a little bit, and his backside was probably clenching along with everybody else at Lane Stadium.
There was so much on TV last night.
There was a lot.
So you had the Hokies game on, which I checked in just briefly on. You had the NFL game on Amazon. Now, that was a dud.
Right.
It was a dud to begin with. It was the Broncos against the Saints. Somehow the Broncos are 4-3.
I don't quite understand it, but
they've got a good defense.
Yep.
The Saints, remember where they started off 2-0
and
had the most explosive offense in the NFL?
Distant memory.
All they've done is lost since that 2-0 start. And then you had not one but two baseball games, the championship games going on, and you had the Caps in action last night.
Yep.
So there was a lot going on last night.
Caps basically just welcome Western Conference powerhouses into Capital One Arena and send them out of there with L's.
But you went and got the steaks. So it's three porterhouse steaks and one T-bone.
That's correct. Yes.
Just don't say
hey, why did you spring for a porterhouse? And I thought we were
all
getting the same.
three packs.
I know, but there had to have been other...
The selection that... I didn't want to go to eight different stores, so I just settled on Safeway. And those they look the best of the offerings, so I just went with those.
Sometimes that happens. You go in there looking, they don't look that great.
They just look the best. They were the most palatable looking offerings that I saw.
What were you looking for them to buy?
Well, I think porterhouses are thicker and they're harder to cook, so it might even take longer.
You know what? Maybe it's more of a test.
I just thought everyone was in agreement about
like a strip steak or
whatever it was.
I just went with porterhouses.
Definitely a curveball.
For everybody.
It's maybe fine. Maybe that's his strong
strategy.
Maybe
it's strategy. That's what I'm trying to get.
It's actually not. Like usually, I don't buy. I'll be honest. I usually don't buy porterhouses.
I thought maybe it's a meat you're familiar with.
It's probably one I'm very unfamiliar with. It's probably a horrible decision by me. I should have bought like a ribeye or a filet. I went with a curveball. Porterhouses / T-bones.
I like to eat a porterhouse. I'll be honest with you.
You definitely took the one seed in manly steaks. I think a porterhouse is the most manliest steaks.
Yeah. They're definitely bone-in sillies. I mean, from the looks of them.
Right.
They're in the fridge right now. I was very panicked about remembering to bring them.
I don't blame
I had
you.
Like my alarm on my phone this morning. I said, don't forget the steaks.
Right.
4:15 a.m.
I had to stuff all the seasoning in my backpack.
Yeah.
I think my gut feeling right now is Bickle.
Okay, that's your leader.
Well,
in the
he's
clubhouse.
Just completely unfazed by all the changes, and you're trying, you know, the open grill, porterhouse. It doesn't matter. Like he's locked in. He's confident.
He said a couple days ago he's into porterhouses. Like so that should be a comfortable.
I know, but
for
over
him.
The last 2 or 3 days, nothing has fazed him. He said whatever you throw at me.
It's also a little indifference. But I do think that I do think, to be honest with you, that. It's fairly basic. It'll probably all taste fairly similar.
I like the Valdez.
That would actually be my guess.
Valdez brought his apron. He's very prepared.
I got my apron out.
I think that they're going to taste fairly similar. It's going to depend on the judge's preference.
Like for the seasoning, I would think. Well, unless somebody just spectacularly botches it.
They're going to be largely similar.
I know you guys. You're like, without knowing anything, like, I know for a fact that Valdez will do some sort of like wacky standout bit like that he always does. He's got to be different. He can't, you know.
He's probably stuffed with crab. Yeah.
Who knows? You know. And then Mar, he's inexperienced.
He'll be clueless.
He won't know what he's doing.
He's really a non-factor, but non-factor, we're just letting him play. Right? Yeah. We're just letting him play.
I'm the dark horse here.
Hold on. So Eric's the favorite?
He just seems unfazed by everything.
I actually don't think I'm the favorite. I think they're all going to taste the same-ish. And it's just going to depend on the judge's preference for how you cook it.
Valdez seemed very confident when I passed him in the break room this morning.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Very confident.
He's probably. Drab is definitely right. Just like he seasoned the toilet over there and they did something.
Seasoned the toilet.
He sweetened it. He did something.
Sure.
He's always on the next page.
He's always thinking ahead.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Jason's the most calculated guy I've ever met. He's the second most calculated. So
he is a planner. We know that.
No, Jason's calculated about vacation. Yeah. I'm calculated about the show.
No, Jason's calculated literally about everything. But yeah, I am confident that, I mean, I know it's not going to be terrible. Like, I know my steak will be tasty. But I do think it's going to depend on, like, I like my steaks cooked a certain way. And who's judging? You, JP, and
Well, right now
tailgate?
It's JP, Tailgate, and Roger, but I'm looking for more judges.
Okay.
Sam Weiner was walking around yesterday.
Begging
to be a part of it.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I like the idea of just bringing in people blind who don't know that you're throwing adobo all over it, and, you know, that aren't watching them being cooked on the grill down there.
Yeah.
Roger's a perfect judge.
The problem with Roger is I'm not sure he knows if he likes something or doesn't.
It's a good point.
How about that?
That's what he says. That's what he says.
He might be
how about that seasoning on that steak? How about that?
Do you think Roger knows that he likes a food?
I'm gonna say he probably.
What do you think
does.
His favorite food is?
I mean, I don't know. I know he likes donuts from that Buffalo spot.
Tim Hortons. Loves Tim Hortons.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he just doesn't seem like a particularly
probably likes wings.
He seems like the person that would eat anything that's in front of him.
Yeah, I think he'll eat anything. Oh yeah, that's good.
It wouldn't surprise me if Roger didn't have taste buds.
Yeah, I mean. But maybe that's funny. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's
good.
I get a kick out of him. I'm just not sure if he likes anything.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't even asked him yet.
Oh, you're going to ask him right now?
Well, I just figured he'd be around.
What else does he have going on?
I just put up our Scotty's.
I think Sam could do it. I would be fine with that.
If he's here. I just put up our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Who will win the steak off today? So you can vote at Junks Radio. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV. I don't know if there is a favorite. Drab's installing EV is the favorite.
Well,
I think it's kind of a
crapshoot.
I think it's a crapshoot. And
yeah.
I mean, Mike Maher on the down lows, isn't he kind of the reason that this started? He expressed his confidence in his steak.
I think he almost challenged Eric, I feel like.
I think I came in here to kill a segment one time and talked about how I just make a silly steak.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it started with Mar.
No, it started with, remember EB's daughter, he wanted to take her out to dinner.
Okay.
And then he was like, no, I'll make you dinner. And then he made the steak.
Got it.
She raved about it.
Right.
I mean, it is my daughter.
But sure.
By the way, this is just a side note, and I know you guys will get a kick out of this. I actually said this to my wife last night because you guys have the exact opposite. I know you have the exact opposite opinion of this. So, playing golf the other day, meeting new guys, you know. Drab, hold on. You gotta listen to this.
He's grabbing Roger real quick.
All right.
How about that?
Just hold on for a second. And we were talking about, these guys listen to the show, and they heard me say, how Cakes' wife hasn't criticized him in 40 years. Like, literally, she thinks he walks on water.
Nearly 30 years. Okay. I mean, 40 years is a bit of a stretch, but sure.
All right, 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, she never criticizes him, never raises a voice, whatever. You know, I get up, you know, trip over my shoes or something, and it starts. He said, Eric, I think you're an extraordinarily happy people to be around. This is his impression of me after playing golf with me like 3 or 4 times.
Right.
He said, because I said, I told my wife, I wake up happy. I don't criticize. I wake up happy.
You don't criticize.
Well, I mean, on the show, I'm doing a show. This is work.
Sure.
But in my real life, I'm a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. He actually said, I think you're an extraordinarily happy person.
Wow, look at this guy.
I think yesterday when you said you learn a lot about people on a golf course, you could have been more wrong.
Well, man, because I think it's true.
Because you are a chronic complainer. If you won the lottery, you'd complain about how much taxes you'd have to pay. You complain about everything.
No.
And that has nothing to do with the show. I've known you my whole life.
Well, I guess
maybe on the golf course you're happy.
I don't think happy is the word I would use. I mean, you're entertaining to talk to.
Pleasant. Like
maybe kind of pleasant.
I'm unpleasant. I'm a happy person. I don't go around here. It's
your
work.
Your unhappiness is entertaining.
Maybe you're a different person on the golf course. Is what people are. It seems to be the angle the people are taking.
I'm always rooting for everybody.
Right.
Want everybody to do well. I don't know.
I have, you know, when you see EB out at volleyball games, he is kind of a different person away from here.
Maybe
that is the real EB, and we just got this 6 a.m. curmudgeon. I don't know.
I mean, we're doing a show. I'm grinding. I'm pushing the envelope.
Well, we're not doing a show in the commercial break when you're going, oh.
He was doing that when we were going to spring break when we were 21 years old. And then he wouldn't go out at night because he felt the cold coming on.
I mean, maybe it's just because, listen, at the end of the day, I love this job. There's no other job I want. But it is a job.
Sure. Of course.
You know.
Hey, you know what? Maybe it's just that the golf course is just your happy place. You're just happier there than you are anywhere else.
I'm happy when I'm at home.
Right.
Anyway, Roger's here. Roger, can't hear us.
An esteemed judge for the Steakoff 2024.
It looks like
Roger. Do we even know Roger's last name? I don't know it off the top of my head.
I do not.
Defoe.
Yeah, let's get to know Roger a little bit.
This is Roger.
Roger looks like he has a fresh haircut.
Hey, his pants are on one today. Look at this.
I know. Roger's like our genius engineer.
Yeah. Roger, what is your last name before we go any further?
Can we say your last name, Rog?
Yeah. You can Defoe?
Defoe? Yeah. How do you spell it?
Like Willem Defoe?
Yeah.
Defoe? D-A-F-O-E?
Not quite.
D-A-V-O-E?
D-U-F-A-U-L-T.
Default? Like, okay.
What with the
default?
U?
Yeah.
Default. You know, default?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not default, but default.
Default.
Change the E to
like
a
doofus.
U.
Like doofus.
Roger Dufault.
Yeah. Right,
right, right. Roger does faults all over the...
Roger, I got a question for you. Are you a foodie?
Foodie?
Yeah, do you know what a foodie is?
You're talking about looking around for good food, you know?
Yeah. Like, do you exactly like good food? Do you appreciate, like, I don't consider JP a foodie.
This is
going to
be genius.
JP will eat something out of the dumpster. Oh. He doesn't care. Uh-oh. He's not a discerning, he doesn't have a discerning palate. He doesn't care.
Not fussy. Not
JP
fussy.
Loves saying that. I've been with him at a steakhouse where he's ordered a grilled cheese.
Do you like good food, or do you just eat anything?
I like just about just some good stuff.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Give us the top two or three things that you like to eat that you really like.
Well, you know, like steak and potatoes. And
yeah, what kind of do you have a preference on the cut of steak? Is there a certain type of cut?
Oh, mate. Basically, the New York strip or T-bone or something.
Can I ask him a question, or is this like considered like talking board?
you can ask Roger anything.
All right. Yeah. How do you like your steak cooked?
Well done.
Oh, not a foodie. No self-respecting foodie would ever say likes a well-done steak.
You don't get well done. When it's the awesome to do it, well done, it's not really burned or anything like that.
It's not still burned, but it's not pink. It's like cardboard.
He should not be allowed to be a judge.
I think you might have disqualified yourself.
You may have. Really?
Okay. What's your favorite restaurant?
What's your favorite restaurant, Raj?
Oh, you like Texas Roadhouse?
Okay. All right.
There we go.
All right. I don't mind it. It's usually pretty crowded, to be honest with you. I've gone, there's one up in Poughkeepsie I would go to.
Oh, okay.
Because there aren't that many choices.
Okay. Texas Roadhouse. You well, like that.
But just, if I had more than like four choices, I probably wouldn't go there.
Roger,
but
I'm going to warn you. I don't think anybody that's in the steak-off today is going to cook a well-done steak. Can you eat like a medium or medium-rare steak?
Yeah, of course.
You could. It's just really, not what you prefer.
That'd be tasty, right?
Yeah, well, it should be. It's tastier than well done. I can guarantee that.
What other foods do you like?
There's some of the Mexican food, you know.
Oh, you're a Mexican guy? Sometimes. What would you typically order at a Mexican restaurant?
Maybe like enchilada.
Enchilada. Mm, nice.
Nice. Very like good.
Yeah.
He's got to like Thai food.
Oh, do you like queso and chips?
Oh, chips and queso is delicious. Hey, so good.
Yeah, like that. Buddy. Yeah. Love queso and cheese. You know what? I should have put cheese on my steak. That's what I should
Yeah. Put cheese on your steak and see what happens in the judging.
So, Roger, you're going to be one of the esteemed judges for the Steak Off. It's going to be a blind taste test. EB is one of the cooks, as is Cakes, Mike right, Marr, and Valdez.
I know we're late and way backed up on spots. Are you able to, when you eat the steak, because I know you're a genius engineer, like you're amazing at your job, but I don't know how you are with food. Are you able to say, okay, this is a 7.5, this is an 8., you know what I mean? Like, can you grade them? Do you think you can grade the steaks?
I think I could, yeah.
You think you could?
Yeah, based on the flavor.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're about to go to Flavor Town today.
Are we doing presentation? We're not really doing presentation.
No presentation. Okay,
no presentation. Are you, paper
for,
plate
are you looking for searing, you know, that kind of stuff?
No, look at this.
Just searing. Flavor.
Taste only.
Yeah. Taste only. But you can do that. You can rank them. Can you rank them?
I can rank them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. All right.
All right, no aesthetics, no garnish, none of that. Just based on taste.
Okay.
All right, you're in.
Sounds like a deal.
Yeah, it sounds like a deal. And you're going to get a good meal out of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't go to the break room and go eat bagels. You'll be all full.
None of that.
All right, excellent.
All right, that's Roger. You can vote at Junk's Radio. Who do you think wins the Steak Off? It's going to happen after we talk to John Feinstein. So right around 8:20 on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Coming up at 7:40 today, Dave Richard joins us. We didn't get a chance to talk to Dave yesterday, our fantasy football guru for CBS Sports. But if you've got lineup questions, decisions to make, Dave Richard will be there to help you out coming up at 7:40. Fridays with Feinstein at 8 o'clock. And our pal Scott Abraham from ABC7 will join us at 9 o'clock to preview the Commanders game against the Carolina Panthers on a football Friday. But right now, let's open up the Junkies sports page. Can fill you on what's going on in the sports world. And kind of a shocker yesterday, Tony Bennett stepping down as the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers basketball team. Guy won a national championship in 2019. Record at Virginia, 364-136. 15 seasons at UVA, and the stunner is the timing of it. He's 55 years old, so he's right about our age.
Yep.
Just a tiny bit older. And he steps down 3 weeks before the season's about to start.
Yeah, the timing is not great. I mean, the season right around the corner. It's kind of surprising. I mean, like, he seemed like he just had, like, a lifetime deal to coach at UVA, coach as long as he wanted to. Have there been any reasons given out for why he decided to just call it quits all of a sudden? I'm guessing he's going to have some sort of farewell press conference within the next day or two.
Yeah.
11 a.m. today.
Okay.
I don't know that he's said what the reason is. Mm-hmm. At 55, though, he's made a lot of money. I think he signed an extension to 2030.
Right.
And, you know, he's got plenty enough money to retire, so maybe he's just burnt out.
Yeah, maybe he's just tired of the grind.
Well, Jeff
wants to do something else.
Jeff Goodman reported yesterday that it's not a health issue. That's okay. What everyone immediately thought because, well, he's retiring 2 weeks before the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something horrible. That is not the case. I will say I talked to Awad last night, who's really in-depth in ACC college basketball in Richmond covering them. And he said that Jason Williford, who is Bennett's best friend and an assistant on the team, has turned down multiple head coaching offers, other places like ODU, and never applied for him.
Hmm.
And he thinks that Bennett did this on purpose, so his buddy gets the interim head coaching job, so he gets a chance to take over the team.
Okay,
I mean, burnout, I'm not saying necessarily anything physical. He's just tired of the grind, and some of these college coaches, they don't want to deal with the NIL. And the transfer portal, and maybe for some reason, I mean, it's weird the timing of it that he just had this epiphany and was like, you know what, I can walk away right now versus grinding.
And maybe even with whatever NIL money they have to give out of Virginia, I think just a lot of kids don't want to go there because of the style of play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest, his style of play is not for every player. It takes a certain brand of kid to go to UVA and kind of put your offense on the shelf
and then
to commit to something, different type of basketball, which is what he does.
And then think about the transfer portal with that.
Right.
You go there as a freshman, you're kind of groomed and you're learning that style. And then say all of a sudden you blossom and then you have aspirations to play in the NBA or play professionally wherever. You're going to transfer out of there so that you have more opportunity to showcase your talent.
Yep. That's true.
I feel like he's past the commitment stage, though. If you want to retire, I think you got to retire in the summertime.
Yep.
I mean, you've already practice has started. I know these guys can hit the portal, but where are they going to go?
Yeah.
They're stuck there for another year. Nobody's going to it's just, I don't know. It's just, the whole thing is kind of weird to me.
It's definitely not great timing from him, but like I said, maybe he's burnt out, and I guess we'll hear at 11 o'clock. To me, it's almost a two-prong legacy for him, though, at UVA. I mean, clearly he turned the program around and was there for 15 years. They won a ton of games. They won a national championship. But he did have, for a long period of time, and even recently, those tournaments where they would just get bounced out in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they were the first team UVA to lose to a 16 seed
losing
as a number
UMBC.
One.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And did they lose in the first four last year?
I'd have to go back and look.
I read something this morning where they said he had 6 tournament wins all in the 1 year.
I'm not sure if that's the case.
All the other years, or at least in the last 4, like when did they win, 2019?
Yeah.
Since they won, first-round exits, and prior to that, first-round exits. So, I don't know. That's what I quickly read. Are we thinking that he's pushed out, or are we thinking he's just burned out?
We're speculating.
Well, what are people
speculating? I'm speculating burnt out. Now, Drab brings up a good point that he's got kind of his guy installed to take over, and maybe it was just time to pass the baton to him.
It's really weird timing.
55, though, maybe he takes a couple years off, chills, and then comes back.
Why would you come back at this point? Like,
guys come back all the time.
I know, I agree, and I think coach is coach, but he's got like a dream job.
He could come back in a couple years, maybe like Wisconsin or something where his dad coach, and once the NIL stuff gets settled a little bit. Once they know the landscape of what guys...
That's what it is. The NIL is just driving people out. Yeah. That's what it is.
Maybe. Yeah. Definitely. Crazy. He took them to 3 Final Fours.
Yeah, but since he won it, 2021, bounced out in the first round. didn't make the tournament the next year. 2022, 2023, bounced in the first round, first four this past year.
Yeah, like I said, it's a kind of a two-pronged legacy. Legacy of winning and winning a national championship, and if you want to expand that, say three Final Fours, but also I do think there's this legacy of a lot of disappointments in the tournament.
Fair.
But overall, you would take him.
Oh, you take him, of course.
I think he's a great coach.
Just like when you walk into Xfinity, you see that silly national title trophy right there in the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
That never goes away.
Never goes away.
And that it always overshadows any early tournament bounces,
right,
in my opinion.
So last night, my son and I were watching the football game first. And my son he's kind of like Cakes. He's not really a baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Hey, Dad, can you switch it over to the conference finals," is what he called it.
Okay. In baseball?
In baseball.
Okay.
He's like, "It's about to go to extra innings."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Conference finals?" He's like, "Well, what's it called? The championship series?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Yes, it's the ALCS and the NLCS." And the Yankees, I believe, were within a strike of going up 3-0 to the Guardians. But the Guardians got a two-run homer to push it to extra innings, and then David Fry extended it, and so it is 2-1 as the Guardians win 7-5.
Not
with
that
a couple
I really
of home
care,
runs.
But why do they call David Fry Big Christmas? Why is that his nickname? Does anybody know? Drab, baseball.
No,
Drab.
That's Noel, the guy with the game. Yeah,
okay, got it. Okay, Noel Christmas. That makes sense.
I thought it was hilarious when I saw. I was actually up late, so I saw all this stuff. John Keim, who I love, the most professional guy that you can imagine, when Fry hits it, he tweets "Holy S" and he tweets the S word.
Yeah,
that John Keim never does that. Never does that. But I know he's a huge Guardians guy, Indians fan, and it caused him to curse on
Twitter.
That
threw you for a loop when you saw that.
It threw me for a loop just because he's John Keim and he's so professional.
Huge win for them because Judge had homered and Giancarlo Stanton had homered for the Yankees, and they were close to getting up to 3-0, effectively ending that series. But the Guardians stormed back. In the National League, the Dodgers romped. Both Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts homered. They beat the Mets 10-2, so they are now up 3-1 in the NLCS. We mentioned Jason not being here today because he went to go visit his daughter and went to the Virginia Tech game. They get 4 touchdowns from Tootin yesterday, and they beat Boston College 42-21. He ran for 266 yards in the game, and they're now 4-3.
He also had a receiving touchdown, too. Like, he was doing everything.
By the way, did you
night.
Say the Dodgers are up 3-1? If you said 2-1.
Dodgers are up 3-1.
Yeah,
I thought
I said 3-1.
No. I think you said 2, but I could be wrong.
The Yankees up 2-1. Dodgers up 3-1.
Yeah.
In the NFL, the Broncos romped all over the Saints.
How'd your boy Rattler do?
Didn't do much. He had a terrible fumble, which was recovered by the Broncos.
Sacked 6 times. That
late in the game. It was a 33-10 game. Couple touchdowns from Javonte Williams in that game.
He also got saved earlier in the game. He got sacked, coughed up the ball, and Denver ran it in for a touchdown, but one of the Denver defensive linemen was offsides, negating it. So they would have scored twice on defense had that guy not been offsides.
I feel like this is a typical Bo Nix game. 16 for 26 for a 164, no touchdowns, no picks.
But he did to give him credit, he did have 10 carries for 75 yards.
Yeah.
So he chips in on the ground.
I'm telling you, he's a gamer. He's a gamer. He's a gamer.
He's a gamer, but I need to see a little more out of the passing side. But if he's going to chip in with 75 yards on the ground, that's pretty good.
Just one more thing. Justin Fields was asked about being demoted for Russell Wilson. J.J. Watt had a good tweet about it. So Justin Fields said, "I don't think I played good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real myself, I think I did play well enough. I don't think if I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing, who should not." And J.J. Watt tweeted, "Man, what an answer from a guy who was 4-2 and gave them a legitimate chance to be 5-1 right now. Poise, maturity, class, hard to not be a fan."
Yeah,
so good for Justin Fields.
He's acting like a pro. That's the way a pro answers it.
That's a great answer.
Good for
him.
Even
if you don't believe it, it's a great answer.
He didn't go up there and sulk. He just went up there and, you know, gave a good professional answer to a question.
Now,
I don't mean to be a jerk, but now put Robert in that same situation.
Oh, I mean,
how do you think he would answer that?
I mean, please.
Right? I mean, it'd be totally different.
Very me.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Put me in that situation. Yeah. You'd have a totally different answer.
And last but not least, Angel Reese said, quote, "The WNBA don't pay my bills."
Right.
Well, she said, "I just hope you know."
My response to her,
"The WNBA don't pay my bills at all. I don't even think it pays one of my bills, literally."
Okay. Well, she said she pays $8,000 a month in rent. $8,000 a month in rent.
Right. That's $96,000 a year.
How about you find a cheaper place to live? If your bills are that high.
Living in Manhattan on like, a freaking penthouse. I mean,
you can live somewhere for $3,000 or $4,000 a month and not pay $8,000 a month. Mm-hmm. That would be my response to her.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines here on the Junkies. When we were talking about Tony Bennett, I went to sportsreference.com and I said that Tony Bennett had three Final Fours. He actually only had one. I guess the program has had three Final Fours. Mm. I misread it. But clearly highly successful, regardless of the Final Fours, but one Final Four run and definitely a lot of disappointments.
I think I was right. I think that year is when he had all his tournament wins.
Probably right.
At UVA.
No, he went to Sweet 16s.
He did? Okay.
Maybe I think it's just since the national title, they've been bounced early.
I think even round. Just before, too.
Right.
He's 9-5 in the NCAA tournament, so he didn't have many wins beyond that run.
He had three.
At least this is according to Google. I could be wrong. Double check. Because I was wrong on that. Should also mention the Caps got a win last night.
Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to get excited now?
Who scored the game winner? It was one of the new guys.
Hold on. It was
Radish.
Taylor Radish. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you should like this start. 2-1, and they beat two teams that came in that hadn't lost a game.
Right.
Western powerhouses in Vegas and Dallas.
It's but that yeah, time it's of year. Start. Where there's a lot going on, it's awesome because you've got Major League Baseball winding down with the Championship Series and the World Series. The NFL, of course, is a juggernaut. College football, but now you sprinkle in some hockey. You could sprinkle in even some NBA. I was saying I just saw Dalton Knecht, who got drafted by the Lakers.
Yeah, like 17th or 18th overall, I think.
He scored 35 in preseason last night.
Wow.
But it's not that he scored 35. And I know it doesn't matter. It's preseason. He scored 20 of their last 22 points. So he just went on a heater at the end of the game.
You know who else is on a heater? Who we gave the reverse Junkies jinx to?
Huh.
Willie. He scored in all three Caps games so far.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Willie. Good for him.
Better get him back on.
Yeah.
They need him to score.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a lot going on today. We've got the stake-off. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Correct.
Who will cook the best steak? Cakes, EB, Mike Marr, Matt Valdez. We're going to have judges, and we'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. We've got Dave Richard coming up in an hour to talk fantasy football. We didn't get to him yesterday.
Yep.
John Feinstein's going to join us. Scott Abraham, it's a football Friday. But a lot of people were asking us what happened to our touchdown parlay. I guess sometimes we do it on Thursdays. So we're just going to do it right here. Time for our touchdown parlay, which we hit last week.
Can you play it, Hale? Can you just play Hale?
You just want to get in the mood?
We haven't played it much this year.
We've never done a touchdown parlay on Thursdays.
Well, I don't know. A couple people tweeted us, said, what's your pick?
You know what it is? They're clamoring for our picks because we're hot.
Maybe. True. We're hot like the grill.
They can't keep it in their pants until
I
Friday.
I think maybe because I was buying into it like with my response. So I was like, we're just going to get to it tomorrow. I think maybe we were doing the Survivor picks on Thursdays.
It's been so long since we've done those. How would I remember that?
So we were just kind of conflating them. All right, I can lead off. I'm going to go back to a tried and true formula, which is picking a top receiver against the Commander's secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Took a week off last week because, I don't know. I went with Derrick Henry. I went with the more obvious touchdown. But I'm going to go back to a top receiver against the Commander's secondary. I like Deontay Johnson to catch a touchdown pass from Andy Dalton. I believe it's +160.
I generally like that, but he's been dealing with an injury during practice this week. I think he's going to play, but that's the only thing that gives me any sort of pause with that pick. I love the blueprint. I love taking a top wide out against this Commander secondary. But Deontay Johnson.
What's the number on it?
He's been dealing with an ankle injury. So hopefully he goes.
Plus 160.
Plus 160? All right. Yeah. That's not bad.
Okay, all right, so you're in. You're in. Sure, I'll go.
It's nice to hit this.
So Deontay Johnson is in at plus 160. I'm going to go to one of the ugliest games on the slate. Bengals at the Cleveland Browns.
All right.
Like, who else is going to score a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns other than the guy who is making a triumphant return in week 7, Nick Chubb?
Ooh.
Kevin Stefanski has said he's not on a pitch count. Like, they've dealt away Amari Cooper.
So they're gonna pound the football.
I mean, what other recourse do they have? Jerome Ford is out with a hamstring injury. Deontay Foreman is just old and slow. Like, they have to give the ball to Nick Chubb. Wow. 18 to 20 times on his return.
That's got to be a great number you're getting. What's the number?
Plus 130.
Oh,
his odds are shorter than Deontay Johnson's.
All right, good.
So Vegas thinks he's a decent shot at getting in the end zone. I'm gonna go with that feel good story that Nick Chubb not only returns but somehow falls into the end zone.
All right.
Actually, it might not even fall in. He might have to rip like a 20 yarder because that team just can't move the ball.
Right.
So I have Nick Chubb plus 130 to add to the mix.
I like it. You've convinced me. You know I'm going to take a skin 100%. And McLaurin hit twice last week. I kind of want to go to him again, but I don't know. I'm looking at it. They've given up 12 rushing touchdowns on the air, but I'm not confident enough in B-Rob, like his health, to know. The other one would be Jaden.
Yeah.
Get a rushing. He didn't score last week on the ground, right? So he might be due.
He did not. By the way, B-Rob's at minus 160.
Yeah, I don't even like it.
They think he's getting in there.
I don't even like it because I just don't know how healthy he is. I know he says he feels great.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I buy it. What is Terry and what is Jaden?
Terry is plus 105 and Jaden is minus 105.
All right, so it's basically the same. I don't know. I'm scared to go to the well too much.
Don't be scared.
I think that there's a connection between Jaden and Terry. I'm going to go Jaden and to Terry.
All right, so you have Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin.
All right, I'm going to put him in.
I'm sorry. I know that's going to the well probably one too many times, but
let's put Terry McLaurin in the parlay.
Is Mar making this pick again? Do you guys defer to Mar?
Well, Jason's out, so.
Oh, you guys want to do two?
I don't know.
You're always trying to juice it. I know. I get it.
I'm not trying to juice it. We're just trying to, you know. Pump it up a little bit.
And bit season's coming out today. I saw Valdez say there was technical issues.
Yeah.
We lost the second half of it.
So you got to redo it? Fake it?
Doesn't matter how many plays we have back here. I know mine is going to hit. So they can figure it out after this.
Okay.
All right?
Right. They can sort it out.
Justin Jefferson has 4 touchdowns in 5 games. Mm-hmm. I think they're at home against the Lions. Everyone's high on the Lions. It's a little bit of a letdown game. The Vikings have been resting for 10 days or whatever it's been since they had a bye last week, since their London game. He had 14 targets in his last game. What are we doing here? This is automatic. He's minus 120. It should be minus 200. I love Justin Jefferson to score against the Lions.
All right, so I'm sized.
All right, so I'll put him in. He's at minus 120.
All right, are you guys putting your collective brains together? Who are you deferring to, Mar or no?
Yeah, Mar's got it.
Yeah, I'm going game of the week. Chiefs versus 49ers at 425, rematch of the Super Bowl last year. Give me Kareem Hunt anytime, plus 130. Last week, when the Chiefs played, he had 27 carries and got in the end zone, and the 49ers are allowing over 100 rushing yards per game. So I feel like this is a good line
for Kareem Hunt. They dusted off Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
27 carries.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're just pounding him.
I saw him playing, but I didn't realize he got the ball that much. Wow.
Here's your 5-leg parlay. You've got Deontay Johnson and Terry McLaurin, both from the same game. They're at plus 387 when you combo their odds. Nick Chubb, plus 130. Justin Jefferson at minus 120. Kareem Hunt is at plus 130. A $10 bet before 30% profit boost that we know we're going to get, $462.58.
But we get a 30% profit.
We should get a profit boost.
So what's
on that?
So
offered on Sunday.
500, 600?
Yeah, I can't do that math on the fly, but it's more than $462.
Probably
I know
like
that.
600.
Yeah, I'd like another 130 or so.
Yeah. Boom. Let's make it happen.
All right, I actually do think we're experts at this. So.
That's our touchdown parlay.
I mean, put we that up twice.
I already spent the money.
We're sharp. On our Twitter account at Junks Radio.
Extra we'll sharp put that up cheddar on this, buddy.
On our Instagram page, Sports Junkies Radio. Coming up next on a Football Friday, we hit the Skins and dive into Skins Commanders against the Panthers. That's next here on The Junkies.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.